the Holy Gospel. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of the leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, "Give this person your place." And then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return, and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please pray with me. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. I want you to think of, well, as Christians, we have a lot of key words that mean a great deal to us, love, grace. But today I want to talk to you about four of the key words: humility, gratitude, compassion, and generosity. And what I hope is to establish a link between these four. So again, Luke tells us in verse 1 that this setting is a Sabbath dinner in the house of an important Pharisee, and Jesus had been invited. We're also told Jesus was being carefully watched. That's no surprise. Our gospel last week was about the healing of a crippled woman on the Sabbath that caused controversy and pushback to Jesus. In fact, our lectionary skips over verses 2 through 6 because they actually describe another Sabbath healing at this dinner. But our lectionary wants to focus on this parable and a seeming command to the host from Jesus. Now, remember that social status was very important in the Middle East. The Middle East was a shame and honor culture, and that's still true today. So being honored or shamed in front of your associates, neighbors, village, could mark you indelibly, and your family. So this was something that's hard for us to, I think, quite identify with that. But that's a key part of this text. Now, the way the dinner sat is, think of it as a U, okay? And the host sat in the middle of the U. And the next most important person on the right, next most important on the left. Right, left, right, left, right, left, till you got to the end, okay? The lowest places. Now, oftentimes the more honored guests would arrive late. Well, I mean, that's no surprise, right? They want to make an entrance. We still see that today, right? If you watch any red carpet arrivals or a big Washington, D.C. Power grabbers, it's always the last person that seeks to get the honor of being there. So the text tells us Jesus was watching this social jockeying. Okay, and so he speaks some words of wisdom from Proverbs, our first reading today. Now, the Proverbs wisdom in this case was relating to King Solomon's court. And it was advice for couriers on how to behave at the court. Keep a low profile, you know, be humble, you know, wait to be recognized. Okay. So I think we all understand, this text. But this seeming advice seems real simple. Seems simple and gentle. Okay. Be humble. Don't put yourself forward. Until we arrive, I think, at the punchline in verse 11. And it says, "For all who exalt themselves will be humbled. Those who humble themselves will be exalted." So here, again, and throughout Scripture, Jesus is talking about the great reversal. Okay? Here's the kingdom of the world. Here's the kingdom of heaven. And there is a great reversal that occurs. Those who are humble will be exalted. The exalted will be humbled. A very common theme. So perhaps Jesus is maybe hinting that it's not King Solomon, but there is another king to whom honor matters. It's this king that provides honor that matters. The only honor that counts is that given by God. Okay, so let's kind of wade a little deeper into some of these verses. So there's this call to humility. And what's humility? Well, there's false humility, which is for the sake of appearances. Look at me, how humble I am. That's not humility. True humility is also not self-denigration. Oh, I'm worthless. I'm no good. I'm absolutely the bottom of the bottom. And I can't do anything. I can't, you know, step out there for the Lord because I'm just too humble. That's not true humility. True humility is recognizing that we are all creatures created by God. We are all equal. Equal loved by God, equal created by God. So it's having a true sense of self in the greater place. Remember, to dust and to dust you all will return. And that should keep us humble because that's all, no matter who, our end. So it reminds me I am not the center of the universe. And that's true humility, understanding my place. So that means being mindfully aware. That's hard for us, I think. How do I see myself? How do I see and judge others? A wise mentor once told me, "Be who you is, because if you be who you ain't who you is." So true humility means an honest recognition of our place, loved by God. Another way you might say it is to thine own self be true. That's another thing. Understand yourself. Know yourself honestly. So humility is the opposite of pride and vanity. And that's not a natural state for us to fall into. I don't know about you all, but that's not natural for me. We often don't want to confront or see our behaviors from outside. That's hard for us to do. But we are quick to judge and evaluate others' behaviors. And this is not easy. It's a constant struggle from circumstance to different circumstance to keep this mindful awareness, to stay centered in who we are as children of God and who those around us are as children. Now, you could see this manifested in social media today. How many followers do I have? How many likes do I have? How many visits do I have? Does that sound like jockeying for position at the banquet? Yeah, it really does. So social media provides and is a danger with an unlimited platform that can appeal to the very worst of our nature, the opposite of humility. I have a hard time sometimes, not that it's not there, finding humility in social media. Now I want to move to verses 7 through 14, because here the text moves to a direct command to the host. Jesus says, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers, relatives, rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and it would be repaid. And you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. You will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Here again, we see this reversal characteristic of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is open to all. We serve God best when we serve others. So, Jesus was teaching. He was teaching here. He's always teaching. And he was always teaching primarily about the kingdom of God, comparing and contrasting our self-centered world with the call that we have here and now for the kingdom of God. Of course, we talk about reversals, and the greatest exchange, the greatest reversal, if you will, was Jesus' crucifixion for our sins. And so, how do we respond to that? Well, I would say that when we realize that, we realize the magnitude of our sin and what Jesus has done, we can only be humble. We can only have that humility. I think that then when we recognize our humility, that leads us to gratitude. We are thankful. We are thankful because we recognize who we really are, what we really need. I think gratitude leads to compassion. Compassion seems to connote feelings, okay? But then compassion should lead to generosity, a response both to that humility, to the gratitude that we feel, to the compassion for others, to be generous. So Jesus says in verse 14, those who serve the poor, crippled, lame, and blind, the least of these, will be blessed, and it will be repaid at the resurrection. I think if I understand Jesus, though, in that larger sense, I think we're blessed now, too. Because if you've ever had a heartfelt response to help someone with words or actions, you were blessed, and I'll bet you felt more blessed than what you did. Because God used you in a way that brings joy and brings a blessing. But Jesus said, you'll also be remembered, honored at the resurrection. So, a command to see and act for those who are invisible, the least of these, or who we make invisible. And if this discomforts you as it does me, then we should prayerfully seek God's will about how to respond and wrestle with that call. Praying through our conflict about what we should do is how we become open to God's will for us. Bonhoeffer wrote, being a Christian is less about cautiously avoiding sin than about courageously and actively doing God's will. Less about avoiding sin, more about courageously and actively. And I think that humility, gratitude, compassion, and generosity are how we should respond. Now, I'm grateful for our small church that supports Teen and Community Kitchen. And while I don't know the details, I know that our preschool provides acts of mercy, which is what all of these are, to those in need who are part of our preschool. But you know, when we stop and think about it, who among us would say, Master, we're doing everything we can
We're not capable of more sacrifice. Master, we're being generous enough.
No. But we have to remember, these are not works where we get a check mark on our heavenly scorecard. Our motives matter. And again, it's humility with gratitude leading to compassion and generosity as a response. In closing, I'd like to urge you all to look at a video on YouTube. And it's called, What Would Jesus Undo? And it's very powerful. Very powerful. It's a beautiful song. It's very powerful. But I think one of the things that struck me in it was in this, all of the things spoken when we use Scripture to hurt those who are hurting, those kinds of things. Someone holds up a sign that says, I'm sorry for passing judgment, instead of expressing love. That's our call. That's our call. To remember humility, careful with judgment, gratitude for where we are, compassion for those in need, and generosity as a response. So, I end where I began. Jesus calls us to Himself as servants for the kingdom of God. And Jesus has reserved a place at the banquet table in the not yet, in the kingdom to come. But He asks us now, in this not yet now kingdom of God, to act out of humility, gratitude, compassion, and generosity. And so there's no higher call in our life as God's people. Amen.